Afternoon, everyone. It is 1:31 p.m. on Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. With me are Commissioners Brian Krashus and Julie Fedorchek. So we have a quorum for our regular meeting. I don't have any opening comments today. Commissioner Krashus, do you?
I do not.
Nope, I don't have any either.
Wow, I don't know if we've ever all three not had any.
I mean, I could make some stuff up from NARUC, but I won't.
Well, we have seven items on the with no comments, I didn't have time to count. Seven items on the consent calendar plus previous minutes.
Would that indicate you're not listening to us when we're actually making comments?
I'm a multitasker. So I move approval of the seven items on the consent calendar in the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. RC1, I move the commission conditionally approve revision number 31 to surface coal mining permit KRSB-8603 held by Dakota Westmoreland Corporation to add 313.4 acres to the permit for the Beulah mine and to update the appropriate sections of the permit for mining in the added area.
Second.
On February 22nd of last year, Dakota Westmoreland filed an application to add these 313 acres to the permit at the Beulah mine. The acres added adjoin the southwest portion of the existing permit area and increase the total permit area to just under 3,872 acres. The acres are privately owned and will allow continued southward mining at that mine. The pre-mining and post-mining land uses in the additional area are hayland and native grassland, as well as about 1 acre of wetlands that will be replaced with equivalent acreage. Annual mine production at the Beulah mine is projected at 450,000 tons per year. Through the current permit term that expires in August of 2021, and that is to supply the current Heskett Station contract that also expires in 2021, Dakota Westmoreland has stated its intention to continue mining after 2021 if the Heskett Station contract is extended to 2026. Reclamation of the 2021 final pit will begin in 2022 if the Heskett Station contract is not extended beyond 2021. Dakota Westmoreland is requesting a variance from the 3-year contemporaneous reclamation requirement for a total of 196 acres. In addition, Westmoreland has requested a general variance from the rule that requires rough grading be completed within 180 days of coal removal. These requests have been adequately justified, and the Reclamation Division recommends that the variances be approved as allowed by North Dakota Century Code. Dakota Westmoreland's plans to expand mining operations require section line closure and relocation of Mercer County Road number 12. Westmoreland petitioned the Mercer County Commission to temporarily close one section line and to temporarily open another road. The Mercer County Commission approved the temporary closure, but to date has not approved the county road relocation route that was recently reconstructed by Westmoreland. Special condition number one is attached to the revision approval to protect interests of the public and affected landowners by prohibiting coal mining operations within 100 feet of the outside right-of-way line until the road authority's approval of the Mercer County Road relocation route. Excuse me. Dakota Westmoreland submitted affidavits of publication of the required newspaper notices. We notified appropriate agencies, the permit area landowners and advisory committee members of the revision application. We received no objections or requests for informal conferences on this revision app. an updated worst-case reclamation cost estimate calculated for the revision permit application totals just under $8.159 million. The current surety bonds for this permit area total $9.485 million, so they are sufficient to cover the worst-case reclamation cost estimate. However, the applicant was required to file a stipulation to increase the surety bond to include these 313 particular acres that are being added. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of the revision and recommends that it be conditionally approved, and I mentioned the one condition.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And I would add that we have three people from Dakota Westmoreland joining us today. So welcome to the North Dakota Public Service Commission. Glad to have you here. RC2, I move the commission approve revision number 43 to surface coal mining permit NACT-9501 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to delete 639.1571 acres from the permit that have not been disturbed by mining activities.
Second.
On November 17th of last year, Coteau Properties filed revision number 43 to delete these 639 acres from the permit because removal has been completed in this permit area, and the area proposed to be deleted as undisturbed is not needed during the reclamation phase. Reclamation Division staff inspected the acreage proposed for deletion on November 29th to verify the acreage had not been disturbed by mining or reclamation-related activities. The revision was deemed an insignificant revision, but does require commission approval because of the acreage deletion from their bond. So no monetary bond adjustment is necessary as a result of this revision, but Coteau may submit bond riders to remove the deleted acreage from the bond area. And for those of you that are familiar up there, this would be some of the acreage north of Highway 1806 that was mined a few years ago. And as I said, these are acres that were not mined, though.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the commission grant the January 16th, 2018 motion for continuance of hearing, extend the rate suspension under North Dakota Century Code Section 49-05-06 to August 31st, 2018, and issue a notice of continued hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Incorporated, 2017 natural gas rate increase application number PU-17-295.
Second.
We had a formal hearing previously scheduled for February 28th, 2018, and it is continued now to begin on May 30th, 2018 at 8:30 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the Commission Hearing Room here at the State Capitol on the 12th floor. And on July, just a little bit of going back a little bit on the history, on July 21st, 2017, Montana Dakota Utilities Company filed an application to increase rates for natural gas service. On September 6th, 2017, the Commission approved MDU's request for an interim rate increase. By notice issued on September 22nd, 2017, the Commission scheduled the formal hearing that I mentioned earlier. That was to begin on February 28th, 2018, and then on January 16th, 2018, MDU filed a motion for continuance asking the Commission to continue the hearing to permit investigation of the impact of the 2017 federal tax changes on the proceeding. Also on January 16th, Commission advocacy staff filed a response to MDU's motion agreeing with and joining the motion and asking that the rate suspension under North Dakota Century Code 490506 be extended to August 31st, 2018. The commission agrees to continue the February 28th, 2018 hearing to May 30th, 2018, and to extend the rate suspension to August 31st, 2018. And just a few points I'll make on this. With the new tax reform, the new tax bill that was passed, there's been a lot of conversation about moving the rates from 35%, the top corporate tax rate from 35 to 21%. And that's a big part of it. But another part that also has to be recognized is the deferred income tax pool, which is money set aside for future infrastructure projects. And that also is a very sizable pool of money. There are a lot of moving parts that the company has to look at, we have to continue to look at as well. And I would like to see a considerable portion of this go back to customers and see that reflected in the rate structure. There will be other potential considerations, and it's a case that companies will have to make in terms of where else would the money go. Will it go to future infrastructure projects as well to strengthen the pipeline and transmission network that they have in place? But that's a case that they'll have to make. One number that really stood out to me as I was going through this. The International Energy Agency has estimated the U.S. power grid would need $2.1 trillion in new investments between 2014 and 2035. And that's to accommodate, as they describe it, the transition to newer energy sources such as wind or solar. It's a considerable figure. And I don't know exactly where they pulled the number from, but it's sizable. So at the end of the day for me, we want to make sure that we look at this closely and come up with something that is fair for ratepayers and at the same time give the company the opportunity to present its case as well and then just take everything into consideration and move forward from there.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
This was one of the subjects that came up at NARUC. There was a focus of one of the main stage panel discussions. And there was a lot of talk about the deferred taxes. And these accounts, a lot of utilities have pretty sizable cash in deferred taxes because my understanding is from bonus depreciation over the that they've been able to take over the last couple of years. And there were some rating agencies that participated in the panel that talked about the impact. Now, that deferred taxes used to be a liability to the federal government. This is how it was explained by the accountants. And now it's a liability to ratepayers. And so if you wipe out that deferred taxes, it affects the cash flows of the company. And the rating agencies may view them differently. So there's a lot of other pieces that we'll have to be considering when we listen to this. There was a part of me at NARUC that was thinking, this sounds like a utility's backpedaling and saying, wait, don't, I can't let go of that. We can't let go of that money yet. And so I still think that we're very much on the right course having required them to set this stuff aside and account for it while we determine what is appropriate for them to collect and what is appropriate for them to return to the ratepayers. So I think that the extra time for the companies and our staff to work through that information and really get to the bottom of it is going to be helpful. And so it means that we won't be dealing with this until the end of the summer, but I think that's just kind of the situation we're in. I don't see that as being avoidable at this point.
Is there any further discussion?
I'm going to add one more point. Because I've been asked why in some other states the rate reductions were advanced quickly. And I think, in my opinion, I don't think they had all the pieces in place. And I truly do not believe that they could have accurately put their calculations together, and that they will be truing up accordingly. So you could argue, well, that's a two-part process, but we're talking an additional 90 days, and again, to echo Commissioner Fedorchuk's point, we want to get this right.
Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, one more, and I think I can get through it without coughing this time. I move the Commission grant the February 5th, 2018 request to postpone proceeding and continue the hearing previously scheduled for March 21st, 2018 in Northern States Power Company Advanced Prudence 302.4 megawatt Dakota Range Wind, application case number PU-17-32.
Second.
This is also related to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that was signed by the president in December. And just in the letter that we received from Northern States Power Company, just a couple of points they indicated in terms of why they were requested to postpone the proceeding. And I'll just read one of the paragraphs. As such, Northern States Power Company, doing business as XL Energy, respectfully requests that the North Dakota Public Service Commission postpone consideration of the company's application. Postponing consideration of this case will allow additional time for XL Energy to analyze the impacts of the TCJA on the Dakota Range project, as well as provide time for XL Energy to work with its vendors on efforts to potentially mitigate those impacts. And the one word that stood out when I was reading this was mitigating impacts. But again, these are complex scenarios, and they have, whether they a company's looking to construct and own or to obtain energy through a purchase power agreement, they have to also weigh out what the new cost will be after the tax reform impact is factored in. And you would expect that the costs would decrease, but also the comparison costs change as well for energy, other sources of energy that they may have available to them. So they've got some work to do on their end as well, and they did not give us a date that at this point, or I don't believe we've come up with a recommended date. We'll have to evaluate and schedule that moving forward.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
So is this one, is this an open-ended postponement?
This is an open-ended postponement, right. And this particular facility is an own and operate facility. We're originally looking at an in-service date of 2021 on the facility. Whether or not that changes, I can't speculate. We'll find out.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I move the Commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of filing and public hearing in One Oak Rockies Midstream LLC Bear Creek Gas Plant Expansion Project, Dunn County, citing application case number PU-18-21.
Second.
One Oak Rockies Midstream has filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility for the a gas processing plant in Dunn County. The One Oak is proposing to increase this facility from the current capacity of this plant, which is 80 million standard cubic feet per day, to 175 million cubic standard cubic feet per day. The threshold for requiring a permit from us is 100 MCF, and so that puts them over that threshold and requires them to come for a permit. All of the construction will be completed within previously disturbed areas on that site, but nonetheless, it's a significant increase, and we'll be setting a public hearing for that, for this project to go out to the Kildare area and hear from the public on it. The public hearing date is scheduled for March 21st at 10 a.m. in Kildare at the High Plains Cultural Center. So look forward to hearing from the public on this plant and seeing if there's any concerns about it. It's obviously a response to the increase in production in the Bakken, and the increase in particular in the gas production out in the Bakken. And so companies are trying to move quickly to make room for that added production. And this is one of those components. So I think we made an effort to try to get this on and get this hearing set as quickly as possible so we can get them a decision.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
And I just want to add to that last part, this in conjunction with the hearing that we actually have in the city tomorrow for a different gas processing plant. That one, we had to cancel some of our own previously scheduled things in order to make it work out. And this one, I know there's also been a bit of a scramble to find a date where all the parties could be together for this hearing. And, of course, we never promise what the end result is going to be, but we do, I think, an exceptional job of making sure that we get things handled and processed and evaluated and reach a decision as quickly as possible, because this gas processing is a huge, huge issue in North Dakota right now. So appreciate the quick timing on this one.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And my last motion, I move the commission deem complete the consolidated application for a corridor certificate and route permit and issue a notice of filing and public hearing in Hess North Dakota Pipelines LLC Keene Oil Gathering System Conversion McKenzie Siting Application Case Number PU-18-24.
Second.
So Hess North Dakota Pipelines has filed for a certificate of site compatibility route permit for the location of approximately 19 miles of 10 and 16-inch pipeline in McKenzie County. They are really proposing to convert the existing gathering line from a crude oil gathering line to a transmission pipeline capable of transporting 160,000 barrels per day of crude oil. This was originally a project that carried, gathered, and there was some storage on this site, and it was intended to ultimately deliver product up and under the lake with some lines that has in existence under the lake and was seeking to permit for a different use. Those permits have been tangled up in some regulatory challenges, and so this project shows the company going in a different direction. They're going to convert this system to a transmission system and redirect it towards Dakota Access Pipeline and use some other shipping alternatives on the south side of the lake instead if they get the permit for this project. So that, again, highlights a number of the very dynamic issues occurring out in the Bakken and shows the companies trying to make the maximum use out of the existing infrastructure, which conversion projects do, and also, you know, highlights one of the other issues that came up a lot at NARUC, and that was the challenge of permitting that exists nationwide for energy-related projects. There's state challenges, there's federal challenges, there's federal agency challenges, there's a lot of discussion in Congress, in the President's office, among utility commissioners about how to make this work better. And
We actually launched a new task force that I'm going to be heading on this very subject, on infrastructure permitting and siting, and it'll be a two-year project through NARUC and bringing together commissioners from all over the country. We'll have three different co-chairs and really shedding some light on what the issues are and bringing together the various parties, including environmental groups and tribal entities and commissioners and other agencies, to try to really get at the bottom of some of the issues and come up with some best practices for involving the industry as well. So I think it'll be time well spent, and looking forward to that project.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Part of me says, oh, great, another committee. Now our scheduling gets even harder. But part of me says that's an important process. So I'm glad you're doing that.
Well, and hopefully it'll be a lot of on the phone and then meetings during the NARUC meetings that are already scheduled. So I don't anticipate additional travel or time away from the office for it.
I was just going to say, it's when you think about how things have changed over the course of time to where we were, as a country, importing so much of our crude oil to a point now where so much of it is produced domestically. And the fact that we have to, as a nation, look at new infrastructure in order to move that product to market, it's really changed significantly over just the last decade alone.
There was folks from the DOE talking about how the conversation used to be energy independence. Now the conversation at DOE is energy dominance.
Right, right.
How can we grow it and share it with the world? So complete turnaround in a decade.
And I sense that as opposed to different times in the past when the issue was getting investment, a lot of these projects, investment is there. It's what you're going to be working on. It's getting permitting taken care of through all the various agencies that gets to be the limiting factor on our dominance.
Mm-hmm. I would suspect we will be extremely busy in the years ahead as more of these projects are presented. And, of course, as always, we'll make sure they're done right.
That's it for my portfolio.
Is there any further discussion?
Oh, we got a vote. Yeah. Got sidetracked.
Any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
See, I did have opening comments. I just wove them into my and then got us all sidetracked. And my final comment is that there are only three lovers in the room, four lovers in the room today. You and me, Stacy and Zanna. We're all celebrating Valentine's Day with a little bit of pink and red. I don't know if you intended, Zanna, but I'm sure I know what a romantic Randy is, so I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I'm all about.
Beth picked it out, right?
Following rules.
I have absolutely no comment.
a few announcements here. Big one, and kind of alluded to it earlier. Tomorrow at 9 a.m. up at Teddy's Residential Suites in Watford City is our hearing on case number PU-17-397, the Aero Bairdin gas processing plant. So we will be there tomorrow. And then moving out, our next regular scheduled meeting is on Tuesday, February 27th, as opposed to the normal Wednesday. And that would be at the normal time, 10 o'clock right here, but it's Tuesday the 27th. With that, we will stand in recess for a short break after we complete some questions from the press.
Randy, well, maybe on scheduling we can talk about that Tuesday meeting, because we've canceled the formal hearing.
It is an issue that I would just advise press as well as anyone else that's listening. I suppose in scheduling there's a chance that we might move that to Wednesday, because the hearing that was on Wednesday that caused us to move our meeting to Tuesday is, I believe, going to be canceled here in a little bit. So keep an eye out. Questions?
So on the MDU
case. So basically what we did is just move the hearing from February 28th to May 30th, I think you said?
That's correct.
And this is a separate case but related issue, has the commission gotten information back from the four utilities that you asked information about from the investigating the tax reform and how that's going to affect rates?
No.
I believe the deadline was tomorrow.
I don't believe we have seen anything yet.
Okay.
But you are correct.
Are you still expecting information, or have they
indicated I expect if that's the deadline that they will meet that deadline.
I sure would expect it too, but probably wouldn't expect it till late in the day.
Yeah.
That sounds like me then with the deadline. So we haven't got any information from any of the four utilities?
No.
Okay.
No.
A little bit from NSP, didn't we? Just not a formal response to that
request. Yeah, there was kind of a summary from NSP, I believe.
I think more generalized
information
at this point in time. Otter Tail has indicated that they're working on it as well because they have a rate case on the table. So the companies are working on it. It's not as simple as saying, well, we're going to go from 35% down to 14, or the corporate tax rate is changing from 35% to 21%, a 14% difference, then taking that percentage of cost as it fits into the overall equation and saying, here's exactly what the savings arrive at, because you have the deferred income tax payments as well to take into account. And then there are so many other moving parts in all of this because of other energy providers that they may have PPAs with, purchase power agreements with. Conceivably, their costs are also going to go down with a lower corporate tax structure. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the renewal dates on those, of course, and when they anticipate to renegotiate those particular agreements, but you could just go on and on with how many different components they have to take into consideration, and they'll have to draw the line at some point because we don't want this to create a delay in terms of relief consumers might experience.
Right. But safe to say you're expecting more information from all four of those utilities by tomorrow on that investigation?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
But is there a sanction that if they don't make it?
There wasn't a penalty clause that I'm aware of that we put in place. It was a request, and again, at this point, I fully expect all of them. I would have expected by now. We're talking one day out in a few hours. So we're one day out, and to my knowledge, none of them have requested an extension, and I would think it would be pretty late in the game to indicate that we'd like more time.
Regarding the wind project in South Dakota, could you elaborate a little bit about why that's, even though it's here, so it's not it's in South Dakota, so it's not a siting application. Could you elaborate a little bit about why that's coming to the North Dakota PSC?
Because Northern States Power would like to have that taken into consideration for future rate making.
Okay. Have that project taken into consideration. Okay.
The percentage of cost that would apply to North Dakota ratepayers. No, go ahead.
This was an ADP as opposed to a siting.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Did One Oak give you a cost for the expansion of Bear Creek?
Yeah, they did.
That
I see has its file.
50? No.
There. I don't think the sheet I pulled has that on it.
I think one of these is 138, but I'm not sure if it's this one.
Oh. Pat will get us that.
$150 million is sticking in my mind,
but
I don't quote me on that, as they say.
So go ahead.
No, I was just asking if you had anything else. You got it. Go for it.
Okay. I was just going to say, so you were appointed chair of that task force?
Yes. Yep.
I suppose this is going to be the easiest softball question you're going to get, but why were you appointed chair?
I actually proposed the task force to them. So they then, and in proposing and laying out what I thought it could focus on and why I thought it had value, I'd be willing to run it. So they agreed to all of those things.
So you're seeing what they call siting fatigue?
Right. We're seeing, well, and it really it came after Dakota Access. I did spend some time talking with the various parties and trying to come up with some lessons learned from that process. And then that made me, think this is really these lessons learned would be beneficial to other states, and other states are experiencing this right now and learning other things. And so that's when I came up with the idea we should try to tackle this some way through NARUC so we aren't all living and working in silos and trying to benefit from each other's experiences and knowledge, and also bring some of the groups that are common to all of our different states together to say, how can this be done better? And quite honestly, a good chunk of the responsibility depends with the applicant and the industry. And really, they, on the front end, have so much of the work to do that really paves the way for a smooth permitting process. And then, our group won't be able to touch some of the federal permitting issues that exist, but we might be able to shed some light on them and collect them, the specifics about what they are, what specific issues are there, which are the permits that are problematic, and find out some of those common things from various projects. But we'll be looking at pipelines. we'll be looking at water issues as well, and generation facilities. So wires, transmission and generation facilities like wind. So we'll try to take a view of all of them and identify some common best practices that could help with the process overall.
Yeah, when you think about it or put it in context from just a North Dakota perspective, in 07, 2007, natural gas production was, call it around 200 million cubic feet per day. And present time, it's over 2 billion cubic feet per day, and that's at oil production, with oil production at 1.2 million barrels a day. The governor challenged the oil industry to hit 2 million barrels of oil. So exponentially, when you do the math on that, that puts us at over 3 billion, probably around 3.5 billion. If proportionately the levels hold, 3.5 billion cubic feet of gas, and the question becomes, how is it moved? Is it processed here? If it's processed here, how does that move to market? How does the oil move to market? Because pipeline capacity, it decreased rail transport significantly in terms of reliance on rail, but that's not going to remain constant as oil production. If it does rise to 1.4 or 1.5, we're going to likely see more oil moved by rail once again. So there are so many moving parts. I think it's a great task force. And
in addition to the increased generation or production, which is really a big deal in certain states, just about every state has issues when it comes to the transformation of the electric grid, which is they're seeing the infrastructure is old and needs to be replaced, the transmission wires. There's new generation that needs to be brought online, and then there's new pipelines needed to serve a lot of the gas generation facilities that are being built and developed and replacing some of the older coal facilities. So there's all of that on top of increased production. So there's a huge, huge need for finding efficient ways to permit construct these facilities that also do so in a way that protects the environment and the cultural resources.
We're going to be busy.
A little unrelated, but I just wanted to follow up on the governor's Super Bowl trip. I guess I was just kind of curious to know if any of you had any concerns about how, you know, your regulation of utilities would be at all affected by even, you know, in reality or perceived by the public based off that trip. Do you have any concerns that way?
Well, we had XL in shortly after, was last Friday, I think, and talked. And one of the first things I wanted to get cleared up on a record was how do they pay for Super Bowl suites? Mm-hmm. Because that is something that I have heard from customers. Do we pay for that? Why are we paying for Super Bowl suites in our rates? And we've talked about those kinds of issues before in rate cases, but I think it's important on that issue that ratepayers understand that there is a, you know, line in the sand that those kinds of costs are not covered by ratepayer dollars. Those come off of profits and are paid for by the shareholders. And that can be proven through the accounting sheets that we review on a regular basis through our rate reviews. So that's the one important issue. And then as far as the governor having conversations, is that what you're asking, with utilities that we regulate? I personally don't have any concerns about it because he's the governor of the state. He has ideas. He has his Main Street initiative. He's been talking to Xcel for years about his personal issues related to their investment in downtown Fargo. We've talked to them separately on different dockets about those issues from a different standpoint, and I see them as you know, he's the governor. He has his initiatives that require certain things, and he can talk with them. We will review whatever the company proposes based on our criteria. And that may or may not be the same as what the governor wants, but it isn't because the governor wants it doesn't change my view of how we review it or what's required under the law for us to take into consideration.
Right. So your regulation of them doesn't change at all because of what the governor wants or what kind of conversations he has?
No, not at all.
You know, for myself personally, it has no impact on any pending or future cases that we will have with Northern States Power. My job is to look at each case objectively, but I think it does point out that you always have to take into consideration the optics. Even though it was a below-the-line expense, what are the optics on this to the public? And it's something we all have to be aware of always. But no, in terms of impacting how I proceed personally and look at these cases, no. It's an unbiased and objective approach that I take on all cases.
I'll just throw in, too, you know, governors are kind of cheerleaders for their state a lot of times and mm-hmm. meet with all kinds of companies and that's not our role to be the cheerleader or anything like that for investment in the state. I like to see investment in the state when it follows the laws and the administrative rules of the state and is done properly. But I just see us as a completely different role than the governor.
Mm-hmm. There's one more very important question I want to ask, and that is, Commissioner Fedorchik, did you get a Valentine from Brian Kalk?
I have not gotten one from Brian Kalk. Do you know something I don't know?
No, I was just thinking about a press conference that was held a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Well, I did not get one from Brian Kalk either.
Nor did I get one from John Gottfried when I was called. I think I was introduced as Julie Gottfried at one political event, so I haven't gotten one from him either. But I do have it by authority that Randy is a romantic. It's been confirmed by his wife, who says that he sent her a dozen red roses yesterday.
So there you go.
Thanks for pointing that out.
She gave me permission to, by the way.
Okay, we will stand in recess until 2:25.
I couldn't help it. I could not.